You're listening to The Signal Daily.
Hello, I'm Manaswini, your host for The Signal Daily podcast. This is the episode for 22nd April 2024. In today's lineup, we are discussing the latest uproar surrounding Nestle's baby food products. Reportedly, Cerelac, sold in developing regions like India, Asia, and Latin America, has an average of nearly 3 grams of sugar per serving. Now, this is worrying because toddlers under the age of 3 don't need added sugar as it can harm their health. Stay tuned till the end to find out why Nestle has a sugar problem in India. And for our second story, we look at how visits by Indian tourists in Maldives are declining while Chinese tourists are thronging the island nation. How does this tie up India-China's rivalry in the Indian Ocean region? And how can Maldivian parliament election set the tone of whether the archipelago is going to take a pro-India or an anti-India stance going ahead? Tune in to the full episode. Nestle's sweet tooth is causing a problem in India. And sit tight because I am going to unpack this food giant's recent controversy. So one serving of Nestle Cerelac, a top-selling baby food product in India, contains almost 3 grams of sugar. Now, I don't have to remind you how risky it is to have added sugar in baby food meant for infants under the age of 3. Those are empty calories and can predispose children to obesity, health diseases, and even type 2 diabetes later on. Even though the World Health Organization has strict rules against adding sugar to baby food, a study by the Swiss NGO Public Eye and the International Baby Food Action Network recently discovered that out of the 15 Indian Cerelac products tested, each serving had over 2.7 grams of added sugar. And the issue here is that Nestle only focuses on listing the nutrients on its labels and not clearly showing how much extra sugar is in its products. So it's a clear case of misleading the customers. Plus in 2022, Cerelac's global sales topped $1 billion, with India alone bringing in over $250 million. And Nestle pretty much dominates the baby food market with around 95% of the share in the country. And its products aren't just popular in India. They're also dominant in markets across Asia, Africa, and Latin America. And among the 115 Nestle products reviewed in these regions, a whopping 108 had added sugar. But you know, it isn't just about sugar being in products sold in low-income and middle-income countries. Nope. It's that sugar isn't found in its products sold in the Western countries like Europe and Britain. Double standards much? Well, who's to say? But reportedly, the logic is that in the UK and Europe, laws are quite strict. They don't allow sugar in baby products. But in India, it's a different story. The regulators here permit a bit of sucrose and fructose in baby food. So legally, Nestle isn't doing anything wrong, but its products can still be harmful to kids. This is especially worrying because India has a big obesity problem. A study in the Lancet report revealed that the obesity among children aged 5 to 19 in India has surged from 0.4 million in 1990 to 12.5 million in 2022. And moreover, sugar is cheap, and it does a good job of bulking up the product. Plus, when you add sugar, kids tend to like it more, which means parents keep giving their kids more of that product. So it looks like Nestle's game plan here could be all about increasing sales and turning a profit. However, responding to these allegations, Nestle released a statement on 18th April, and I'm quoting a few lines here. Quote, "Compliance is an essential characteristic of Nestle India, and we will never compromise on that. We also ensure that our products manufactured in India are in full and strict compliance with Codex standards, a commission established by WHO and FAO. And local specifications as required pertaining to the requirement of all nutrients including added sugars. Reduction of added sugar is a priority of Nestle India." End quote. So the company also claims that it has decreased sugar content by as much as 30% over the past 5 years in the country. But anyway, this isn't Nestle's first rodeo. Back in 2015, between June 5th and September 1st, they had to pull around 38,000 tons of Maggi noodles off the shelves across India and trash them. Why? Because tests found MSG and lead in noodles way beyond what Nestle India had originally claimed. On top of that, Nestle isn't the only food company under fire. Last week, the Singapore Food Agency ordered stores in Singapore to remove Everest fish curry masala from their shelves because the food safety watchdog discovered that this spice mix, imported from India, contains higher levels of ethylene oxide than allowed. And ethylene oxide is a pesticide that can lead to serious health issues over time. In fact, even in June last year, the United States Food and Drug Administration, or the FDA, had to recall Everest Garam Masala and Sambar Masala from 11 states. Turns out they found salmonella in those spices. Seems like food safety in India is taking a step backward, isn't it? All we can do right now is stay alert and always read the fine print, if it's even there on food packaging. For our second segment, we are going to bring you deep dives on stories from the world of technology, business, policy, and anything that leaves you with food for thought. Once a hotspot for Indian tourists, the Maldives is no more a go-to destination for vacation. Even until last December, Indians were thronging to this archipelago known for its pristine beaches, clean blue seas, and water sports. But that has been steadily declining month over month since the beginning of this year as diplomatic tensions flared up between the two countries. If you remember, it started when high-ranking Maldivian ministers made derogatory comments against PM Narendra Modi from his visit to Lakshadweep. This prompted an unofficial boycott of the Maldives among Indians, and it seems that Indians are in no mood to forgive. Because recent data shared by Maldives Ministry of Tourism shows that around 56,208 Indian tourists had visited the country between January and March 2023, but this number dropped to 34,847 in the January to March 2024 period. That's almost a 40% drop. But can you guess which country is topping the list right now? China. There's almost a 200% year-on-year increase in Chinese tourists visiting the country in the same period. Honestly, no surprise there because China has been engaged in a fierce geopolitical competition with India for influence in the Maldives. So Maldives has been important for India not only in terms of trade, tourism and shipping, but also as a key maritime partner in the Indian Ocean region because of its strategic geographical location. But China has been expanding its military presence significantly in the Indian Ocean in the past couple of decades, much to India's dismay. And obviously, it is wooing countries like Maldives, Sri Lanka, Djibouti, Seychelles, and other developing African countries. In retaliation, India has also been beefing up its military presence in the region. It has set up a second naval base in Lakshadweep's Minicoy Island, and it has about 10 warships deployed all the way from the Arabian Sea to the Gulf of Aden. But anyway, in this China-India power play, what is also going to set the mood going ahead is the Maldivian parliamentary election that took place yesterday. This is going to be the moment of the truth for President Mohamed Moizu, under whose presidency the rivalry between India and China heightened last year. So Moizu took office last November, replacing Ibrahim Mohamed Soli, who was considered to be pro-India. And since he came into power, there's been a visible rise in anti-India rhetoric, starting with the quote-unquote India Out campaign that is aimed at reducing Indian influence, specifically India's military influence around the country. And firstly, he broke tradition and visited Turkey after becoming president instead of India. And later on, he also asked India to withdraw its military personnel by March 15th. And what's more is that Maldives refused to renew its hydrology pact with India. So those are some pretty strong messages for the country, isn't it? In the meantime, China has been cozying up to the country's leadership. Firstly, in 2013, Maldives joined China's Belt and Road Initiative when Abdullah Yameen was president. He's actually the mentor of the current president. And while India-Maldives diplomatic row was going on, Moizu signed some 20 agreements with China, including a military assistance deal. And now some see it as a standard move straight out of China's debt-trapped diplomacy, something that played out in Sri Lanka not too long back. But obviously, this bonhomie can cause some serious geopolitical turbulence in the region. But now coming back to the parliamentary elections, as I said before, this is going to set the tone as to whether the island nation is going to be pro-India or anti-India going ahead. So Moizu absolutely needs this one to go in his favor and his party. Because the People's National Congress needs a majority, because since he's become president, there's been a power tussle between the parliament and the president. I mean, the parliament has already rejected the appointment of three of Moizu's cabinet ministers, and his opposition is even pushing to impeach Moizu. So you get the drift here. But will the outcome of Maldives elections be a positive or a negative impact for India? Well, we'll have to wait for the results first. If you like listening to The Signal Daily, please show us some support. Rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'd love to hear what you have to say about this podcast. So feel free to shoot an email at hello@thesignal.co. The episode was researched, written and produced by Shorbury and me, Manaswini. Edited by Roshni Nair, mastered and mixed by Yash Hirve. You can catch this podcast every morning on Spotify, Apple, Amazon Prime Music, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are thesignal.co on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter.